Maybe you like cooking. Maybe you don't. Either way, the new Blue Apron is for you. Because along with our classic meal kits, we're offering new pre-made and one-pan meals to help you get dinner on the table fast. And now there's no subscription needed, so you can just order and enjoy. Do delicious food your way. Shop 100-plus meals at blueapron.com. Get 50% off your first two orders with code APRON50. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
The Rich Zeoli Show podcast is sponsored by Mike Veneria Jr. with Osperity Private Wealth.
Hi, I'm Mike Veneria Jr., Wealth Management Specialist. Make your retirement dreams a reality by creating your retirement plan today. Call me at 856-252-0107.
All right, well, there's a new video angle of the from the agent's perspective and the shooting in Minnesota, and we will share it with you throughout the afternoon. It just came out a short time ago. Agent's perspective of what happened as we're learning more and more about the driver who was shot and her efforts to organize this Block ICE movement. Welcome to the show. Glad you're here today. 855-839-1210. On X at Rich Zeoli, Friday edition of the show. And great to have you with us. We are streaming live on YouTube, of course. 1210 WPHD is where you go for that. And it looks like something's happening at the White House right now. I think the president is meeting with oil executives at the White House. So if there's a Q&A or with the press or something, we'll dip into it live a little bit. I see Marco Rubio and Susie Wiles and Doug Burgum, the Secretary of the Interior there. So oil's been a hot topic all week, ever since we got Maduro. I mean, it's a hot topic before Maduro, obviously, but it's been a hot topic since we got Maduro. And everybody's been talking about what it means to get the Venezuelan oil and then what that means for the American oil economy, oil market. So, yeah, all that fun stuff. And, of course, today is the last official 3 to 7 p.m. show. On Monday, we're transitioning to a one-hour podcast, which you can hear at 6 p.m. right here on Talk Radio 1210 WPHD every day, Monday through Friday, and on demand as well before 6 p.m. if you like, and you can watch us stream the show live when we record it. So that's good, too. So lots of ways for you to connect, and we're setting up cool things, because I know I got a couple notes, some very nice notes, by the way, from great friends, including Chris, who said, one of the things he loves best about the show is the ability to interact with the audience and the listeners. And I agree. That is a great thing about the show. That's not going to change. We're going to make sure that doesn't change either. And the other thing is that we're going to make sure that we can still have the same community that we have now. And that's not going to go anywhere. The Zeoli Army community is strong and will only get stronger, in my opinion. It's only going to get stronger. The president is speaking right now as he's meeting with these oil executives. I'm not going to take a lot of this, but I do want to dip in just a little bit, because obviously this is a lot of what's happening with in the news right now with oil and Venezuela. And I'm very curious to hear what the president has to say about this right now. So we'll jump in here. We're not going to stay long, so don't go anywhere, but let's take a listen here.
We're doing really well. We had a situation 3 days ago with Venezuela, and we're getting along extremely well with the people.
I like how he says Venezuela.
Of Venezuela, both the people and the people that are running Venezuela. I just want to thank our military. What they've done is incredible. That was considered unprecedented, to go into a military fort with thousands of soldiers and others, and to come in with 152 planes going every which way, and very rapid speeds and helicopters, and to come out with no deaths and the loss of no equipment. It was pretty amazing. Nobody's seen anything like it. I was called by the leaders of numerous countries. I won't go into which ones, but the biggest and the strongest. And they said that was very impressive. They're all impressed. But today I'm delighted to welcome almost two dozen of the biggest and most respected oil and gas executives in the world to the White House. It's an honor to be with them. We have many others that were not able to get in. I said if we had a ballroom, we'd have over 1,000 people. Everybody wanted. I never knew your industry was that big. I never knew you had that many people in your industry. But here we are. And if you, in fact, if you look, come to think of it, well, I got to look at this myself.
Wow. What a view. This is the door to the ballroom.
So the president's meeting with these oil executives right now at the White House, and
unusual time to look.
What I'm curious to hear with the president is what we're going to do with Venezuela in terms of we're taking the oil, we're going to refine the oil. Are they going to go into Venezuela, rebuild it? Because the oil refineries need rebuilding. So, okay, let's take a listen here.
The best we want from this is, as you know, our biggest room, which would seat 100 for dinner, maybe. If you're lucky, if you're nice and tight. And the ballroom will seat many. And it'll also take care of the inauguration with bulletproof glass, drone-proof ceilings and everything else, unfortunately, that today you need.
Drone-proof. Wow.
So we're going to discuss how these great American companies can help rapidly rebuild Venezuela's dilapidated oil industry and bring millions of barrels of oil production to benefit the United States, the people of Venezuela, and the entire world. And yesterday, the number is 30 million barrels. I can't even. Is that a correct number? 30 million barrels. You hear that, Peter? Of oil was given to us by Venezuela. That's a lot of oil. It's about $4 billion worth, and it's on its way to the United States right now. And we want to thank Venezuela for that. And we're working very well with them, obviously, or they wouldn't have been so generous. But they respect us again. They didn't respect us at all before. So that's money that goes to the United States. Some will go to Venezuela. And some will go to the oil companies, but not that, because that's already been extracted. So when you're not getting any of that, but when you start extracting, you'll get. But it's tremendous reserves, among the biggest in the world. Some people say it is the biggest in the world. And we're going to be working with Venezuela. We're going to be making the decision as to which oil companies are going to go in that we're going to allow to go in. We're going to cut a deal with the companies. We'll probably do that today or very shortly thereafter with Chris and Doug. And we're dealing with the country, so we're empowered to make that deal. And you'll have total safety, total security. One of the reasons you couldn't go in is you had no guarantees, you had no security, but now you have total security. It's a whole different Venezuela, and Venezuela is going to be very successful. And the people of the United States are going to be big beneficiaries because we're going to be extracting, you know, numbers of, in terms of oil, like, you know, few people have ever seen, actually. So you're dealing with us directly. You're not dealing with Venezuela at all. We don't want you to deal with Venezuela. Let me thank Vice President J.D. Vance, who's doing a fantastic job. Secretary of State Marco Rubio, likewise, a fantastic job. I have good people. I like them better than my first group. But we had a great, despite that, we had a great first term. We had some great people there, too, by the way. But we had a great first term. We had the greatest economy in the history of our country in the first term, but this is blowing it away. And you haven't seen anything yet. Everyone's been shocked by the numbers, 5.4% GDP. And that's despite the fact that we were badly hurt by the Democrat shutdown, of which they'd like to see if they could shut it down again. Secretary of the Interior Doug Burgum, who's fantastic. Secretary of Energy Chris Wright, recommended by Doug as being the greatest oil man anywhere in the world, because I wanted Doug for that job, energy. And Doug said, no, sir, there's a man named Chris Wright. I said, who the hell is Chris Wright? He said he's the most talented oil man anywhere in the world. I doubt you can get him, because typically oil men make a lot of money, and women. They make a lot of money, but Chris came. You took one of the greatest salary cuts probably in history, Chris, right? But he's a fantastic person, loves our country, and many other important members of this team. And I want to thank them for their efforts. As you know, last week, the United States Armed Forces performed one of the most spectacular military operations in American history, apprehending the outlaw dictator Nicolas Maduro for his crimes against the United States, crimes for which he has now been indicted and is in federal court awaiting trial. And he killed many people, millions of people, actually, and allowed jails, prisons, mental institutions, insane asylums, drug dealers, drug addicts to pour into our country totally unchecked because of sleepy Joe Biden's policy of open borders, the stupidest thing I've ever seen. We're getting them all out. The departure of Maduro makes it possible an incredible future for both nations, Venezuela and the United States, in which we will more closely integrate the economies of two major energy powers in the Western Hemisphere. Energy coming out of Venezuela was very small. One of the things the United States gets out of this will be even lower energy prices. We have people now getting gasoline for $1.99, $1.96, $1.95, $1.92.
Oh, yeah, let us know about where you're getting gas and how cheap it is.
And it used to be $3.50, $4, $5 a gallon.
Let us know in the YouTube chat.
Think of that, $1.99. Decades ago, the United States built Venezuela's oil industry at tremendous expense with American skill, technology, know-how, and dollars. But those assets were stolen from us. And we had presidents did nothing about it. This president is much different than your other presidents. They did nothing about it. They stole it. Some of the people in this room were a little bit younger when that happened, but not that much younger. Wasn't that long ago. But they stole our assets like we were babies. And the United States said absolutely nothing about it. So now we're doing everything about it. Now we're doing 500% about it. But it's a long time after the act took place. So they stole from us, and it was taken by socialists and communists at the time, and Venezuela was going bad, really bad. And as much oil as they have, they're producing almost nothing, which is just a system. So we're really, if you look at it, we're taking back what was taken from us. They took our oil industry. We built that entire oil industry, started a long time ago, but they took it, and they were very ungracious to this country, but now they're being very nice. American companies will have the opportunity to rebuild Venezuela's rotting energy infrastructure and eventually increase oil production to levels never, ever seen before. When you add Venezuela and the United States together, we have 55% of the oil in the world. The United States is number one. We have them drilling. Drill, baby, drill was my campaign. And Doug and Chris, I think we're setting records on drilling right now and taking oil without Venezuela. That's how we're getting the oil prices down. The plan is for them to spend, meaning our giant oil companies will be spending at least $100 billion of their money, not the government's money. They don't need government money. But they need government protection and need government security that when they spend all this money, it's going to be there so they get their money back and make a very nice return. The plan is for them to spend at least $100 billion to rebuild the capacity and the infrastructure necessary. Venezuela has also agreed that the United States will immediately begin refining and selling up to 50 million barrels of Venezuelan crude oil, which will continue indefinitely. We're all set to do it. We have the refining capacity. It was actually based very much on the Venezuelan oil, which is a heavy oil, very good oil, great oil. It's fantastic for certain things like asphalt roads. Best there is in the world for asphalt roads and other things. All of the companies here today are going to be treasured partners in bringing the nation of Venezuela back to life, restoring its economy, and generating great wealth for their companies and for their people, and also great wealth for the American people, and tremendous wealth for the companies that are going in. The companies that are going in, and if you don't want to go in, just let me know, because I got 25 people that aren't here today that are willing to take your place. So I just want to thank, these are people that I either know or I know of by reading lots of business magazines and journals and papers. And these are the greatest oil people anywhere in the world. Harold Hamm, I see, is here. Harold, you know, there's a story about Harold Hamm that he could look at a piece of land, put a straw into the land, and oil pours out. Is that true about you? Whereas some of you guys have to invest hundreds of millions of dollars to find that oil. So we can't let that story be true.
241 Cherry Hill and Costco, says Rosalind. Wow.
And oil comes gushing out. So you're not a big R&D person, are you, huh? He's called Instinct for Oil. Now, he's got other problems, but we won't talk about those problems. But he's been a great supporter of mine for a long time, haven't you, Harold? So congratulations. But we have, and I think Harold would agree, we have the greatest oil men and women anywhere in the world sitting in this room right now. And we have a lot of people that will be back to see us sometime next week. We're going to have another meeting for another group. But we're going to do this very quickly. We can have this done almost immediately. So I'd like to thank you all for being here. I'd like to invite Vice President Vance to say a few words, followed by Secretaries Rubio.
All right, we're going to jump out of this. It's obviously going to go on for quite some time. It's going to be a few hours. And so if they take questions, we'll certainly listen to it. But key takeaway is obviously these oil companies are going to go to Venezuela. Venezuela crude it's heavy, it's dirty. They're going to rebuild the infrastructure there. And then they're going to tap into that. And that's going to benefit the Venezuelan people and obviously benefit the United States of America, too. It's also going to, and we'll talk. And by the way, Dr. Victoria Coates is going to join us again today. So we'll talk with Dr. Coates. Yes, I'm in studio. If you're watching on the YouTube stream, I am in studio. I am here. It's a little dark in this room. I'm used to the bright lights in my home studio, but I like it. It's nice being here. Good to see Justin's got his Zeoli Roofing Company sweatshirt on. I put on the Justin cam. Everybody can see it. And you got your Eagles hat on, too. That's good. Got a big game on Sunday. Sunday at 4:25 p.m. We'll go to the Justin cam. And this is. How do we do that? How do we get you on camera? Are you there?
Oh, I did it.
Oh, you did? Why don't I see you?
It's on a delay.
Oh, the delay. That's right. Why is there a delay? Huh? Why is that? There he is. Look at Justin. It's brighter in there than it is in the studio. How come that is the case?
I think Dom sets the lighting in there when he comes in.
It's like a vampire lives in here.
But yeah, Dom sets it in here, and I think Stalker sets the lighting up in here for, you know, he's got to have the perfect angles for himself, perfect lighting.
Course. Yeah, well, I mean, that's, you know, that's what happens when you're the boss. You get the best angles and the best lighting. It's also messy. I mean, look at all that crap behind me. Look at that.
Been a while since you've been in here.
It's been months since I've been in here. And then I can't come in after today. So if I need to record my show from here, I got to pay them to rent the studio. So this is it. I don't even know if this badge is going to work after today. I have no idea.
I don't think it will because you're not an Odyssey employee, so I don't think it'll work.
No, I'm not an Odyssey employee after tonight.
Yeah, so I don't think it's going to work anymore. You're going to have to sign in at the front desk like everybody else.
Well, I'm going to hop the turnstiles like they do in New York at the subway stations. That's what I'm going to do. I'm going to hop the turnstiles and just come on in. No, I think I'm supposed to be on. So let's see. I'll be on Kale and Company Thursday morning and then Dawn on Friday. I imagine we'll probably be doing it from the home studio. Just saying. You know what I mean?
Save some gas money. Even though gas is cheap, save a little bit. You know, you gotta reinvest that into Gary.
Did you get a media parking spot today?
Surprisingly, I did.
Well, I saw one open. I left it for you, and I paid to park.
I appreciate that.
$10.65.
Oh, that's only for like five. You're gonna have to re-up.
I gotta re-up.
I know you.
I gotta re-up. I know. I gotta re-up because we're here till 7. And then. It's a 4-hour limit, but then you can re-up and you can stay longer.
Yeah, so. It's like a two. I think it's like one or two extra hours.
I got a ton of crap to return to Amazon and Staples in my car, so it's probably all going to be gone by the time I get out, which is fine because then I don't have to do the returns. You know what I mean? They can just take it for me.
Just what does Mom Donnie say? Redistributing
it'll be
the wealth.
A redistribution of wealth. Let's jump back in. The Secretary of State speaking. I just want to hear what he has to say regarding Venezuela. He's all the rage right now, Marco Rubio. He's the most popular guy in America besides me. Go ahead.
elements in that country and around the world that are against our interests, at the same time as a process of reconciliation has to happen internally among the different sectors of society and politics and the like. And finally, the third phase, which is the most important of the three, is when the country fully transitions into a normal country that we have strong economic and diplomatic and relations with, that is friendly towards the United States, that's not a foothold for our adversaries, that serves our interests, but also the interests of the people. It'll be a country that is wealthy, a country that is prosperous, for the people, not for a handful of criminals, but also a country that is supportive of our interests in the region and throughout the world. And we thank you, Mr. President, and the team you've assembled that have brought us to this point. A lot of work remains, important work, but this is historic.
Okay. Thank you very much. Doug?
Well, Mr. President, I want to thank you for your leadership.
All right, we can jump out. Thank you very much. Like I said, this is going to go on for a while. There's a lot of speakers. There's a lot of people here. And it's going to probably go on for several hours. So if you're more interested in watching that, then Fox is taking it live, the whole thing. C-SPAN's taking it live. C-SPAN. I mean, I won't be hurt if you want to jump out and do that. But we got a lot of other things to talk about today, including the protests that are going on in Minnesota. How local officials in Philadelphia are reacting to the shooting. You heard yesterday Larry Krasner, of course, threatened. Today, you're going to hear from the Philadelphia sheriff, who's threatening as well. And you're also going to watch the video from the ICE agent's perspective of this terrible shooting that happened. Bottom line is this, and I've watched it. They're blocking traffic. They're mouthing off of the ICE agents. And then an agent walks over and says, "Get out of the vehicle." Clear as day, you can hear it. Says to her, "Get out of the vehicle." Her wife tries to jump in the vehicle and then screams, "Go, go, go." And then she smashes into an ICE agent, and then he opens fire. That particular agent who fired had also been dragged by a car in the past. So this woman who lost her life was also, she had been organizing this block ICE caravan thing that they've been doing. And they were right in the center of it. And then, you know, the one agent walks over and says, "Get out of the vehicle." You could hear it as clear as day. And they attempt to flee. You attempt to flee law enforcement. And then, you know, at that point, all bets are off, as I've said before. It's a terrible thing. But what I still can't understand for the life of me is how comedians think it's appropriate to make this as part of their comedy bits. I saw it on The Daily Show last night. I didn't see the Daily Show, but I saw a clip of it posted. Not Jon Stewart. He only does Mondays. But the other guy who's on there, this guy, I think his name is Ronnie Chung, I think his name is. Ronnie was using this as a bit to, again, make fun of Trump, but just like Jimmy Kimmel did. I mean, I don't get this. It's their hatred of Trump is so bad that they'll use this woman's death and they'll use it as a punchline. And they won't even give it a week. They won't even give it a day. That I don't understand that, and it's uncomfortable to, in my opinion, it's cringy to watch. But if they can use her and turn her into a martyr and a hero of the left, which is what's being done right now, and her face is everywhere, and they're trying to make her the George Floyd 2.0, and that's what they're going to do, and they're going to continue doing that. There's no doubt in my mind about that. It's very, very sad to watch, but we'll share it with you. Top story of the day brought to you by Dr. Mike Veneria. 2026 is the year you want healthier teeth. You want greater confidence. You want care you can trust. So make your appointment with Dr. Mike today at 856-786-2020 or veneriadental.com. Dr. Mike is my friend. In fact, we were texting this morning. We're going to go to the shooting range together. He's a terrific guy. So veneriadental.com. All right, coming up, big show for you today. Dr. Wilfred Riley, Dr. Victoria Coates, your thoughts. Feel free to weigh in as we continue along the show. The president speaking about oil and Venezuela, and the Secretary of Energy, Chris Wright, is saying that the oil was being trafficked by bad actors. And we're also monitoring, obviously, the protests that are going on in Minneapolis. So don't go away.
The Rich Zeoli Show on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT. You know how everything's a subscription now? Music, movies, even socks. I swear if I...
To continue this ad, please upgrade to Premium Plus Platinum.
What? No, anyway, Blue Apron...
This is a pay-per-listen ad. Please confirm your billing.
Oh, that's annoying. At least with the new Blue Apron, there's no subscription needed. Get delicious meals delivered without the weekly plan.
Wait, no subscription?
Keep the flavor. Ditch the subscription. Get 20% off your first two orders with code APRON20. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
He's already gone, sipping craft beer and singing Sinatra songs. He says, please don't call me, I'm playing hard to find. By noon I've left the work behind. But then turn on the TV, guess who?
This is Newman Price. You?
It is.
Smiling big on Fox News. He's off on Friday, but he never really goes. He's popping up on cable shows.
It's Friday. I'm literally right here.
He's the king of the bump. The Friday escape. Rich Cioli making a Fox News show.
Let's hope, Newman Price. Let's hope. Let's hope. All right. We are not going to do. This is not a farewell show because we're not going anywhere. We're just. Literally, we're still going to be on at 6 o'clock. So that's still part of this show because the show goes from three to seven. So we're not doing like a farewell thing or anything. Like, I'm not dying. I'm not dead. I'm going to be back here on Monday. Just not as long. That's all. Just not going to be as long. That's the only change. That's it. It's the only change. So, you know, and you'll have great people on from 3 to 6. So it'll be fantastic. Don't worry. Don't sweat it. But we're not doing like a farewell tour, farewell show or anything like that. The president is speaking with oil executives at the White House right now. The situation in Venezuela and what they're going to do in Venezuela and how they're going to rebuild those refineries. And how they're going to make sure that everybody gets the oil. And some people have been weighing in on how cheap the oil and gas is by them, which is great. Good. Keep it coming. I want to keep seeing those numbers way under $3 a gallon, which is fantastic. And we're talking like 280, 250, I'm seeing. Excellent. Fantastic. Good stuff. BJ's, Costco, even the Wawa. And, you know, at the Wawa, if you use the app, you can, or your Wawa card, you get points, and you can get those points and get free coffee. Just saying, because we all need coffee. So, and then Sunday's the Big Eagles game. We got the Big Eagles game, San Francisco. We are favored to win. It's a home game, 4:25 p.m. I asked my son Patrick today. I said, Patrick, what do you want to do for the Eagles game, buddy? He said, Dad, let's make some cheesesteaks. I said, great, let's do it. Of course, you know my rule: got to have seeded bread, crispy seeded bread. That's got to be the thing. And since I've got some time on Saturday, since we're just going to be hunkering down this weekend as a family with Gary, really don't have many options right now with a little puppy. You really got to kind of hunker down. We're going to bake the bread. In fact, you know what? I got to tell Bridget. I'm going to ask her if she can feed. Can you feed the sourdough starter, please? Question mark. Thank you. Love you. Okay, you gotta say thank you, love you. If you're asking for a favor like that, you better throw in the love you part, because she's like, I'm freaking busy. I got the kids, they're home from school. So, you know, the other thing too is regarding this change in schedule. I'm very much looking forward to being around a lot more for the kids in the afternoon. The thing about radio is that the afternoon drive is wonderful. It is great. You do miss out on a lot of your kids' activities. No question about that. It's not insurmountable. We're incredibly close as a family. We spend a lot of time together, and particularly on the weekends. But having dinner together, going to see their games and stuff, and helping drive them around and all that, I'm looking forward to being able to do that. I haven't been able to do that in a long time. And then when I was in mornings, it was tough just because I was, I had to go to bed so freaking early, but then I couldn't sleep, you know, but anyway. But no, it's going to be great. The Dan Bongino announced today he is coming back 10 to 12, but he's not going back to terrestrial radio. He's just going to be going back and doing his podcast. I am doing a hybrid model. It'll be a podcast and radio show. It's a hybrid. And I personally think that radio is not going anywhere. Maybe I don't have any insight into what Dan Bongino's thinking is. I don't know. But he was on Westwood One, syndicated his show, and there was national syndication of his show. And then when he left, it was 12 to 3 p.m. Vince Colonies from WMAL in D.C. took over that spot. The syndication model of radio is also changing quite a bit right now because of basically of podcasting and digital and everything else. But I think there's something else too, which is that so the idea of local and being focused on local. So I always believe this in life when it comes to interesting and engaging radio, broadcasting, conversation, whatever it is. The more that I'm interested in something, the more you'll be interested in something. Like Dr. Maz told me this a long time ago. He said, the more fun you have, the more fun the audience will have. That was the very first piece of advice he ever gave me when I hosted my own show on PHT, which was, believe it or not, from his parents' boiler room closet in Cinnaminson, New Jersey. True story. And it was after the Super Bowl. That was my very first show that I ever hosted. I forget which Super Bowl. We weren't playing. I know that. The Eagles were not in it, obviously. But I remember that because every caller that I had was drunk. They were all drunk. I mean, one after the other calling the show. And it was during the Hyundai like brake recall or the brakes were failing or something. I just remember that was the big topic. But that was where I did my very first radio show. Years later, when my wife decided to leave corporate America, and for a while she was doing real estate. She's not doing it anymore, but she actually sold Dr. Mazzarelli's parents' house in Cinnaminson. And I said, do me a favor and take a picture of that room for me because I want to blow it up one day. And always remember that was my very first radio show that I ever hosted next to a boiler in Maz's parents' house in Cinnaminson, New Jersey. There should be like a plaque there or something. I don't know if there is or not because, you know, I don't know the political leanings of the people that bought the house. So I have no idea. If there was, they probably would, you know, if they didn't agree with me, they'd tear it down, probably rip out the boiler too. But anyway, and so the issue of local radio, I always found this out to be the case. There's a lot of definitions of what is local. What does it mean for local? Like, what is local? How local do you get? I think it's this. If it's interesting, it'll be interesting to somebody whether it's in their area or not. If it's not interesting, then it's just not going to be interesting to them no matter where they are. It could be in their own freaking town. Like you could be talking about something in your town. And if it's not an engaging topic, then you're not going to care and you're not going to be interested in it. I happen to be very interested in things like, for example, Pennsylvania politics, which is going to be a hot topic from now until November of 2028. So in other words, even though New Jersey was big in the fall and I had people yelling at me like Linda Kearns, like, oh, you're talking about Jersey so much. Well, now Jersey's going to kind of be in the rear window and we're going to be focusing on Pennsylvania a lot. This year with midterms, the governor's race with Shapiro, and then obviously Shapiro's hoping he wins this and then he can run right to the White House. Like, don't pass go, don't collect $200, go straight to the White House. So it's going to be the hot topic from now until then. And we'll be focusing on that in the new iteration of the Zeoli show. Because it's going to be something everybody's talking about. And John Fetterman continues to be a very engaging national character, as does Larry Krasner, because Larry Krasner's a jerk. And Larry Krasner is the epitome of the Soros-funded lunatic left-wing prosecutors. He's not a prosecutor, he's a district attorney. But, you know, guys like him, they are the problem. And guys like him, Krasner and others, they always make for good news. They make for bad news, but they make for good radio because talking about him and this Philadelphia sheriff, for example, like this should be a national story, in my opinion. So whether or not you live in Philly or you live in Walla Walla, Washington, like our buddy Richard. This probably interests you. Or maybe you're down in Naples like Susie Cool or Santo. I think he might have left already. He might have gone back. I'm not sure. I got to check with him. He wanted to grab breakfast. It's just been hard with the dog, but he might have escaped down. Or maybe you're like Matt DeSantis in Scottsdale, Arizona, even though he's the executive producer of the show. So maybe you're listening in Scottsdale. Oh, there you are, DeSantis. How are you?
I'm doing well.
Excited for the nice long Scottsdale weather weekend. It's going to be 60 degrees here tomorrow, but rainy.
I think it's about 65 ish here now. It rained yesterday. The weather was terrible, but man, is it beautiful out today?
Oh, good for you.
I'm enjoying fine weather as well.
Oh, well, we're so happy you're enjoying the fine weather, Matt. We're all so happy for you.
It's a little chillier than usual.
Oh, I did a call. Look at that. Oh, I hate to cut you off, but what a shame. But I don't want to keep T in Cherry Hill waiting. What's that?
I was saying I couldn't wear shorts today. It was a little bit chillier than usual.
So T's in Cherry Hill, and hi, T. How are you? Thank you for letting me.
Hi, sweet.
How you doing?
Just wanted to wish you the best of luck. I mean, I love seeing you on TV. I love listening to you. This is your time. I am so glad this is happening for you and your family. God bless you.
You are a sweetheart. God bless you.
It is the best for you. I am so very happy. But I wanted to tell you one quick thing. When you were talking yesterday about how they were saying in Minnesota, you know, about the car being a weapon and things, I learned how to shoot at a very young age. My father taught me. He was a Marine, taught me how to shoot in the backyard. And when I was 17 and I learned how to drive, just as I was putting the keys in the ignition, my father stopped my hand and he said, I want you to remember one thing. What you're about to do is the equivalent of loading a gun. Mm. And I remember looking at him. He said, this is a deadly weapon. You must always treat it that way. And I'm telling you, it was probably one of the best pieces of advice that I ever got.
My dad gave me similar advice. He said, you're driving a 3,000-pound weapon. That's what he said.
Yes.
That's what when I was learning to drive, that's what he said to me. He said, this is a 3,000-pound weapon, and you should always think about it from that perspective.
Treat it with respect. Same way I treat my weapons, treat them with respect. Oh, and by the way, I bought three firearms from Bob's. I love that place.
Oh, wonderful. But thank you. They called me today. My background check came back, and I can pick up my guns this weekend. So.
Oh, well, good. You know, I like when they sent, you know, in Jersey, when you go to get another firearm, they send a letter to your house. Like they sent a letter to my husband, you know, there's a person in your household wants to buy another firearm. Do you have an objection to this? My husband looked at me one time. He goes, we have like eight weapons. Like, why all of a sudden are they asking me?
Yeah, right. Why now?
Why are you asking me now? I just bought you a shotgun. Yeah.
I didn't realize they did that. So that's what they do after you buy multiple. They send a letter.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, that's crazy.
Oh, yes, they do. Oh, yeah. And every time my husband gets one, he just looks at me, he starts laughing. He's like, yeah, like they're all concerned now, aren't they?
Yeah, right. Yeah. Now, finally.
But,
the Zioli Army. Oh, sorry. Go ahead, sweetheart.
No. I mean, I don't know what, if I make a Zioli Army thing, I don't know where to send it now. But, you know, I could still send it there.
You send it here. They'll get it to me. I'm still allowed to be in the building. I mean, I am going to be coming on the show, three different shows a week as a contributor, plus my own show.
I know, and I listen to all of them.
And I'm going to test this badge limit and see how long I go with it until I bet you they forget to turn off the access. How much you want to bet? Huh?
Nah, trust me, they shut it off. You haven't even left the building yet today.
It's already shut off. I'm not going to be able to use the bathroom.
You're going to have a hard time getting out.
Yeah, well, that's fine. All right, T, I love you. Have a great weekend,
best
my dear.
You too as well, and good luck to you. I'm looking forward to it.
All right, you're the best. Appreciate it. 855-839-1210, and thank you for giving me an excuse to cut off DeSantis. I appreciate that. All right, so the president meeting with oil executives about Venezuela. We'll continue to monitor that for you throughout the afternoon. And we're going to play for you the new video, which came out showing the Minneapolis shooting from the ICE agent's perspective. It's very clear that the driver of the vehicle, who's now deceased, was absolutely 100% deliberately deliberately trying to evade law enforcement and makes physical contact with the car against the agent. I mean, there's no doubting it when you watch this video. It's open and shut. Like I've always said to you, I wait on these things till I get all the facts. I don't need to rush to social media. I don't need to be the first with a take. I like to make sure that my takes for you are the right takes. And the other part of that, too, is that I still, when you hear these politicians, I don't care whether it's the mayor of Minneapolis or it is the governor of Minnesota, that tubby Tim Walz, bad Richard Simmons impersonator, you have to remember something about these people. They are grandstanding politicians. They are politicians who are using this woman's death to try to advance their political careers. In Walz's case, he's trying to use it to save his political career. These are grandstanding politicians. That is what they do. And do not doubt that is what they will continue to do. And they're going to use this woman's death. They're going to continue to use it as they go forward with that. So the president is now taking questions. Can we jump in and hear from the press corps, Justin? All right, great.
You know how everything's a subscription now? Music, movies, even socks. I swear if
To continue this ad, please upgrade to Premium Plus Platinum.
What? No, anyway, Blue Apron.
This is a pay-per-listen ad. Please confirm your billing.
Oh, that's annoying. At least with the new Blue Apron, there's no subscription needed. Get delicious meals delivered without the weekly plan.
Wait, no subscription?
Keep the flavor. Ditch the subscription. Get 20% off your first two orders with code APRON20. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
Great relationship with him. I'm very disappointed. I said eight wars. I thought this would be in the middle of the pack or maybe one of the easier ones. And I don't know if you know, Peter, the last month they lost 31,000 people, many of them Russian soldiers, and the Russian economy is doing poorly. I think we're going to end up getting it settled. I wish we could have done it quicker because a lot of people are dying and mostly soldiers. You know, they get hit in Kiev and they get hit a little bit here and there, and people are dying there, too. But largely, it's the soldier population. When you have 30,000, 31,000 soldiers dying in a period of a month, 27,000 the month before, 26,000 the month before that, that's bad stuff. So, as you know, President Biden gave $350 billion to Ukraine to fight, and we would never get that back, although I did make a rare earth deal to get it back. So we will be getting it back, but shouldn't have done that. It was a bad thing to do. I will say that right now, because I was able to get NATO to up GDP from 2% to 5%, NATO's got a lot of money and they are paying for everything. We're not losing any money. We're making a lot of money, I guess, if you think of it, because we're selling them military equipment. They're probably giving it to Ukraine. But we're selling them to NATO military equipment. We're getting full price and all of that. But that's not a big deal to me. What is a big deal is stopping a war where 30,000 people are being killed every single month.
And on Minnesota, the vice president yesterday suggested that Renee Good, who was killed by this ICE officer, was part of a broad left-wing network. What has your team told you about this broad left-wing network? Who is in charge of it? Who's part of it? What's it called?
Well, I haven't seen the vice president's statement, but he's generally very accurate, I hate to say. I watched that yesterday, and there are a lot of different forms to it. But there was a woman screaming, shame, 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 shame. She was a agitator, probably a paid agitator, but in my opinion, she was an agitator, a very high-level agitator, so professional, she wouldn't stop screaming. I said, this isn't a normal situation. This is a professional troublemaker, because you heard it and I had it. Now, I will say this, the news sort of turned her down, turned her off, because you're trying to watch. She was so loud and so crazy and just not normal. When somebody sees something like that, they don't go screaming and screaming and the same words. So, I guess you could say professional, but I didn't think she did a very good job. You have agitators, and we will always be protecting ICE, and we're always going to be protecting our Border Patrol and our law enforcement. Yeah.
Mr. President, in your conversations with these oil executives today, did you provide any security guarantees so that they can do their work safely in Venezuela? Yeah. And separately, Mr. President,
will have those guarantees, yes.
And separately, Mr. President, I'm curious in terms of the future of Venezuela. Do you see Venezuela now led by Delcy Rodriguez as an ally of the U.S.? Is that the way that you view that country
right
now?
Well, right now they seem to be an ally, and I think it'll continue to be an ally. And we don't want to have Russia there. We don't want to have China there. And by the way, we don't want Russia or China going to Greenland, which if we don't take Greenland, you're going to have Russia or China as your next-door neighbor. That's not going to happen.
Mr. President, thank you. You just said that these companies would have security guarantees if they go in on the ground in Venezuela.
They will have.
And what is your plan there, actually, for these companies and those Americans who are going to be on the ground working for these companies?
Well, there are going to be Americans. I assume they're going to be using a lot of Americans, but they're going to be using a lot of people from Venezuela and other places, I would imagine. But I would think that mostly they'll be using Venezuelan workers. They have a lot of great workers. They have a very high unemployment rate, and they have workers that are very familiar with taking oil out of the ground. Yeah.
How long do you think the Ayatollah will be in power after what we've seen play out on the ground there? When is the U.S. going to get involved now that reports of protesters being killed on the ground?
So Iran's in big trouble. It looks to me that the people are taking over certain cities that nobody thought were really possible just a few weeks ago. We're watching the situation very carefully. I've made the statement very strongly that if they start killing people like they have in the past, we will get involved. We'll be hitting them very hard where it hurts. And that doesn't mean boots on the ground, but it means hitting them very, very hard where it hurts. So we don't want that to happen. There have been cases like this where President Obama totally backed down. But this is something pretty incredible that's happening in Iran. It's an amazing thing to watch. They've done a bad job. They've treated their people very badly, and now they're being paid back. So let's see what happens. We're watching it. We're watching it very closely. Yes, go ahead.
Thank you so much, Mr. President. Do you have any comments and reaction to the recent attacks by the Syrian government alignment groups against U.S.-backed Kurdish forces in Aleppo, Syria, which killed dozens of civilians and displacing many families? Does your administration bring peace between the Kurds and the Syrian government?
I want to see peace. Yes, I do. The Kurds and the Syrian government, we get along with both, as you know, very well. They have been natural enemies over the years, but we get along both. And we want to see Syria succeed. And so far, I think they are succeeding, but this is just breaking out, and we want to see that stopped. Go ahead, please.
You're meeting with the president of Colombia, Gustavo Petro, in a few weeks. Do you hope this meeting with Gustavo Petro marks a new chapter, a new beginning in the benefit of the
U.S.
and Colombia relations?
What country?
Colombia, with the president of Colombia, Gustavo Petro.
Yes, I had a very good talk with him yesterday. And you know, he's been very hostile to us and to the nation and to me, called me a dictator and lots of other things, called Biden some terrible names, far worse than he called me. But he called yesterday through people, and he wants to meet, and that's fine with me. I've made up with people also, you know, so we're going to have a meeting with him. We had a very good conversation. The people of Colombia are incredible people. Marco would know that better than anybody because he's married to a woman from Colombia. And I don't mean Columbia University. That would be, I'm not sure. I think I like Colombia, the country, better, if you want to know the truth. The people are, great people. I look forward to meeting with them. We're going to meet in the very near future.
The interim president of Venezuela here in the White House, would you greet her to discuss the fate of the oil?
Yeah, well, I'm going to meet a lot of people, and we're going to meet, you know, we meet a lot of people. When you end 8 wars, you get to know a lot of people, and I think it's very important. As an example, we have over $18 trillion, think of it, $18 trillion coming into our country. A lot of that's coming in from foreign countries like Saudi Arabia and Qatar and UAE and others. And I get to meet a lot of people, but I will be meeting with various representatives of Venezuela, probably pretty soon. We haven't set that up, But the relationship that we have with the people that are currently running Venezuela is very good. We also have a young lady that received the Nobel Peace Prize. She's going to come in and pay her regards to our country, really, to me. But, you know, I'm a representative of the country, nothing else. And she's coming in sometime next week, I think Tuesday or Wednesday. And we'll see how that is. But no, we're dealing with the people from Venezuela. We're dealing with them very well. I think they've been very smart in the way they've dealt with us, frankly, because that whole place could have been obliterated with one more strike, and we didn't want to do that.
Thank you so much. I have a question for you on Minneapolis, but on Venezuela and your meeting with Machado next week, if she gives you her Nobel Peace Prize, will that change your view about her running that country?
Well, I have to speak to her. I mean, I'm going to have to speak to her. She might be involved in some aspect of it. I will have to speak to her. I think it's very nice that she wants to come in, and that's what I understand the reason is, because Norway is very embarrassed by what took place. I mean, they're getting decimated. Look, whether people like Trump or don't like Trump, I settled 8 wars, big ones, some going on for 36 years, 32 years, 31 years, 28 years, 25 years, some just getting ready to start, like India and Pakistan, where already 8 jets were shot out of the air. And I got it done in rapid order without nuclear weapons. I can't think of anybody in history that should get the Nobel Prize more than me. And I don't want to be bragging, but nobody else settled wars. Obama got the Nobel Prize. He had no idea why. He still has no idea. He walks around, he says, I got the Nobel Prize. Why did he get a Nobel Prize? He got it almost immediately upon attaining office, and he didn't do anything, and he was a bad president. So, I mean, you should get the Nobel Prize for every war you stopped. These were major wars. These were wars that nobody thought could be stopped. President Putin called me, and he said about 2 of the wars that he's been trying to stop them for 10 years. He wasn't able to do it. He couldn't believe it. So, in theory, you should get the Nobel Prize for every war you stopped. Every one of them was major. But I don't care about that. What I care about is saving lives. I've saved tens of millions of lives. You know, the Prime Minister of Pakistan came here, and he made a very public statement. He said that President Trump saved minimum 10 million lives having to do with Pakistan and India, and that was going to be raging. So,
a quick break. We'll come right back, and don't go away. A lot more to come, obviously.